considering some events primarily in the life of Jacob. Of course, they have to include other events in the life of Isaac, his father, and Abraham, also his grandfather, would be mentioned. And this passage that I want to read to you in chapter 27 is quite long. I wonder if your attention span will endure it. We shall see. But we have to read a little bit from chapter 25 so that we are better able to understand chapter 27. And so, in chapter 25, the background is this. Isaac has married Rebecca, but they have had no children. And in verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebecca, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, wherefore do I live? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two peoples shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the great shall serve the small. That's what it literally says. You may take it. The elder shall serve the younger. But remember those words. The two words in the Hebrew are Rav and Sa'ir, which are the great shall serve the small and the great. And it says the great shall serve the small. Now in chapter 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his elder son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me venison, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, my brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory food, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me thence two good kids with the goats, and I will make them savory food for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, so that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me then. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. And Rebekah took the goodly garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God sent me good seed. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near, and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. And God hid thee of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and new wine. Let peoples serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also made savory food, and brought it unto his father, and he said unto his father, let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son Esau, thy firstborn. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who then is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came to the guile, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with grain and new wine have I sustained him, and what then shall I do for thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, from the fatness of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and from the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt break loose, that thou shalt shake his yoke from off thy neck. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, let us know that our soul thrilled to think of this scene so long ago, and yet that are so dissimilar things transpire today. Thy word is the living word. We pray, our Father, that by thy Spirit we may understand. Some things seem so simple and straightforward, and yet, Father, thou dost know how subtle and how complicated the true interpretation is. And therefore we pray that thy Spirit may illumine us. So teach us this night, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All by himself, Jacob was able to obtain Esau's birthright. Unassisted, he was able to bargain away his brother's birthright. But to secure his blessing, it took the assistance of his mother. Now think of this. Jacob, with all his intense desire of acquisition, and with all of his cunning, he did not possess the audacity and the acumen to take away his brother Esau's blessing. But his mother was equal to the task. She came from the family of Bethuel. You see, his mother had a father named Bethuel, and evidently the full impartation of all the cunning of the Bethuel family came to her and her brother Laban. Only part of it passed through her to her son Jacob. But together, Jacob and his mother Rebecca were equal to the task. She had to encourage him on, and as we read, they were successful in securing the brother's Esau's blessing. Now, I have to mention this, that early in life, the moment was opportune, and Esau had come in from hunting, and he was famished with hunger, and Jacob was cooking a mess of pottage, and Esau appealed for some of that pottage. And Jacob said, sell me first thy birthright. And he reasoned with him, and he said, sell me first thy birthright. Promise me that if you eat of this pottage, you will give me your birthright. And Esau gave him his promise, and he sat down to eat, and he rose up and went out. And it says that Esau despised his birthright. And so now Jacob has secured his birthright. I know what Jacob is. You cannot say that he stole anything. And if I told you that Jacob stole his brother's birthright and his brother's blessing, would you correct me? I looked all through the scripture for the appearance of that word, steal, but it never appears. Abraham or Isaac does not use it, and Esau does not use it. The word is, he has taken away my birthright. He has supplanted me these two times, but he never says he has stolen my birthright. Now, if you come in hungry, and a man has some food, and you want that food, and he says, I will give it to you, if in exchange you will give me your birthright, and a bargain is made, the man has stolen nothing from you. He has driven a hard bargain. But I think that perhaps Esau could have waited a little while and gone home to mother and said, quick, mother, put me up something to eat. But instead, he lived for the momentary gratification of the flesh. And so, this is the way he reads. He said, I'm going to die. And what good will my birthright do to me? And so, for Mr. Pottage, he sold his birthright, and it is never forgotten. It is mentioned in the New Testament that Esau was a profane man, and for one mess of pottage, he sold his birthright. Now, it's so important to remember that scripture. I wanted to read you more scriptures. I did not know if you could, if you had the ability to take all of these things in at one time. And so let me tell you. I mentioned in chapter 12 of Hebrews that Esau is called a profane person. In chapter 11, Esau's name appears again. It appears in the same verse that his brother Esau, Jacob's name, appears, and his father, Isaac. And I want you to listen carefully to this verse, because you will have to give me some assistance in a few moments. This is what it says. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, I took time to read you from chapter 25, even though I read so extensively from chapter 27. I read it because an oracle had been uttered in Rebekah's ear, and after it was spoken, I must know two things, and you have to help me. Did Rebekah tell Jacob and Esau and Isaac? You don't know? Neither do I. And so if you say, why, I know that she told him. You show me the scripture where it says that she told him. I cannot help but believe that she told him. But the scripture nowhere says that. But once you say it, then you have altered the interpretation that I want to give to Genesis 27. And so if you say, yes, she told him. All right. The next question is this. If she spoke those enigmatical words couched in such a way that they are difficult in their fullness to understand, did she and did Isaac understand the interpretation of them correctly? Do you know? Do you know the interpretation of those words? Can you tell me what they mean? I don't know if you can. I've been looking at them with the help of Romans 9 and also the passage in Hebrews 11, and I am not sure what those words mean to this day. For this reason, you can't tell it in reading the English Bible, but it's not the elder shall serve the younger, and it's not as it says the greater in the New Testament, the older shall serve the younger, but both times it's put in a different way for some reason. And if this is so, is it apparent then that the elder, the greater in age, the older in age, shall serve the younger in age? Well, if this is so, then the matter is elementary if I interpret it that way. But now think for a moment, because you have to help me. Are you telling me, and will you grant me, will you concede that Isaac knew of this prophecy, that Rebekah heard from God? And are you sure that he knew the interpretation, and that interpretation is the traditional one, that the elder, Esau, shall serve the younger, Jacob? Are you sure of that? Well, if you say, I'm not sure of it, well, so you can see that it is true, and we can proceed along these lines in interpreting Genesis 27. If not, then I will have to take another tack and approach it from a different point of view. But if not, let's forget it for a moment. I want you to see what you're up against. Now, if Esau had never been told this oracle, because it said that when Mary heard things, she kept them in her heart. You do not know that Rebekah told her husband, Jacob or Esau, and you do not know that Rebekah understood those words. But let's say that she did, or that she did not. You have to decide. You have to decide whether she told her husband and her son. But if she did tell them, and they have a correct understanding of the prophecy, and it's what I told you, that the elder shall serve the younger, then what is happening in Genesis chapter 27 is this. That Isaac, knowing what God has prophesied, he has risen up in rebellion against God and said, I am going to bless the older and not the younger, and I'm going to make the younger serve the older. Do you understand what I'm telling you? God said, the older shall serve the younger. And now he says, I am thy older son Esau. And Isaac is telling Esau, his older son, let your brother serve you. And so you tell me now that you by that oracle meant, but if this is so, see what kind of man you have made Isaac. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, if not, then here is an old man in his age, not knowing what the oracle meant, not understanding its interpretation, and doing what he thought should be done. And if this is so, then in the innocency and integrity of his heart, he spoke these words. And so you have to come to some decision. And so how shall I proceed? Shall I say that he knew and he understood, or that he did not know and he did not understand? You don't know? Well then, we'll proceed this way, because there is yet another solution. Because God, when a woman asks the question, does not give an answer to obfuscate, to make the thing still hazy. And we understand about two nations being in the womb and two peoples being separated from the womb, the one being stronger than the other, and the greater shall serve the lesser. We understand as a whole what that meant, and so I believe that the others did as well. But this is what I did not take time to read to you, and it is this, that Jacob and Esau were twins, and Isaac loved Esau, and Rebecca loved Jacob. And you realize that some of you parents are quite prepared to fly in the face of God's will to bring into the lives of your children things that you want for them, whatever the consequences are. I read books about those who have read what God said would bring ruination into the lives of children. And yet parents reading that either disregard it, or this they willfully forget, and then they attempt to bring into the lives of their children the very things that God's word says will destroy those children. And so do not put it past Isaac, because I do not put it past you fathers and mothers. When you love a child, you have a special one, and you're prepared to do anything in your power to bless this child that you love. And so, Rebecca is prepared to do all in her power to lie, to cheat, to steal, to bring a curse upon her soul if she can secure a blessing for the son that she loves, Jacob. And Esau is willing to risk the wrath of God to turn about the prophecy that God has given, if he can bring a blessing into the life of his son Esau, whom he loves. And so you parents must understand this. If God visits your children, and even though you love one, and God has looked at this one and said, he is not the one I'm going to bless, you cannot make God bless that child. I remember that Samuel tried it with his children. And Eli had two sons named Hophni and Phinehas. And they tried to make their children into something that they were not. And God was determined to destroy those children. And yet Samuel made his sons judges. And there are always parents who are trying to make their children into something that God says they are not, this by nature or by new birth, and therefore my blessing is going to be here. And yet we love this child so much, but God says this is the child that I'm going to bless. I want blessing to be for Jacob. But you say, well, I like my son. This son Esau, he's a hunter, he gets along with people, he's admirable, everybody looks up to him. And this son, Jacob, he's a quiet man, he's in the tent, he's meditative, he is reflective. I don't think anything about that son. He never does anything. There's not enough get up and go about that man. And God said, Jacob is the one to be blessed, and there's nothing you can do about him, except like in the book of Judges. Here is Jephthah, the one that despised, but God enabled that man to fight and to free them from their enemies. And so had they go to Jephthah and say, will you come and be leader over us and free us from our enemies? It's just this way. There are people we do not like, but God will bless this man or that man, and you simply have to recognize it and acknowledge that God has blessed this one or that one. But we're going to take it that Isaac knew and that he had the audacity to attempt in his old age to cross his hand in God's presence. You remember that Jacob is the future when Ephraim and Manasseh are brought. You see, Manasseh is the firstborn, and he should be blessed with the right hand. And Ephraim is the younger. And so when his son Joseph brought them, Jacob went this way. And Joseph said, not so, my father. And Jacob said, I know, my son, I know. And so what's happening now is that God says, this is the way that it's going to be. The younger shall be ruler over the greater. And so God says, this is the way it's going to be. But Isaac says, let's do it this way. You see, he tries to uncross the hand of God. But God sees to it that it can't be done. Now, I want to tell you something that's so interesting about the will of God. It is not God's will that we lie or cheat or steal, but you are quite able to violate the will of God in these areas. But there are some instances of the will of God, and try as hard as you may, you can never violate the will of God. There was no power on earth that could take that blessing away from Jacob and give it unto Esau. You must distinguish God's will in the scriptures that way. You see, he does not want men to perish, but if men will not be saved, they shall perish. He does not want men to lie or cheat or steal, but these things can be violated. But there are other things that God has determined to come to pass, and they cannot be violated in this instance. Now, let me tell you, when this happens, let us say that Rebecca knows the will of God, and she knows that her son Jacob is the one to be blessed. Is it necessary, when you know what God's will is for your child, and you see that what you know God wants to happen is about to be reversed? Tell me, must we at that moment begin to lie and cheat and steal and do anything in our power to change it so that God's will be done? Of course not. Let me tell you. Let's think of Abraham, because the same thing happened in his case. God had told Abraham that in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. And now God said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him for a burnt offering upon the mount that I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and did everything that God told him. Now, here is what we find in the New Testament. We did not know it. But though Abraham was going to obey God, he had already figured out what God was going to do. He said, I'm going through with this thing. God wants me to offer my son as a burnt offering, but I reckon that God is able to raise him from the dead. I'm going through with it. And he lifted the knife, and God said, stop. But you see, he was going through with it. He could have said, it cannot be that God wants this. This is not the voice of God. But he knew it was God's voice and God's will. And so he went, and God let him go to the last moment, and then he intervened. Because Abraham was a man of faith. Now, if Rebecca knew the same thing, could she not let the will of God run its course without violating the commands of God to bring it to pass? Why, of course she could. But some of us do not have that much strength. Do you believe this, young lady? That no good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk uprightly. Young men, Do you believe that if you walk uprightly and a good thing for you, there's a Christian mate to assist you and go with you through life? Do you believe that no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly? You say, yes, I believe it. Then you have to dress and behave in such a way as to attract something of the flesh to get this man or this woman? Or can you behave as a woman of God and look to the Lord and let Him bring it to pass? Or is your name Rebecca? Now, I know that the Lord wants this one for me, and so I'll just arrange clothing, and I will arrange lies, and I will cheat. And you see, this is what we think we have to do. But here's what I found. Do you not realize that if Isaac knew what he was about, and he started to utter those words, what happened to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, when he spoke out and questioned that angel? The angel said, you're going to be smitten with numbness. And when Zechariah went out to the temple, he couldn't say a word. And so if Isaac had proceeded to the last moment and Rebecca had trusted God, she would stand there and say, let's see him utter this blessing when God has said it's not uttered. And God would have smitten him with numbness. It would be impossible for him to do it. But you see, Rebecca wasn't the woman of faith that Abraham, the man of God, had. And therefore, Rebecca's name does not appear in Hebrews chapter 11. You see? And so let me tell you this. Yes, indeed it may be that inasmuch as the will of God, some things are going to come to pass, other things God wants to come to pass, but they may not come to pass like your being without sin, unreprovable in this world, things of that nature. But still, I believe I am quite prepared to let these things go from my life if they cannot be secured in a way that is honoring to God. But it is a challenge, and so you think it through. Now, let me give you the interpretation that I believe will stand, and I can accept it, and I can still be intellectually honest, because it says this. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. Do you realize that it speaks of the faith of Abraham as to the birth of Isaac, and it leaves out the time when he said, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. It doesn't mention that. And it doesn't mention, oh, Eliezer, my eldest servant, he's going to be heir. He's the one you're talking about. God never mentions that. He just takes the good part of faith, and he puts it by faith, Abraham. Now, it may very well be that God graciously passes over this affront to his will for this reason. Once he found out what had been done, that God wanted the blessing this way, but he was trying to do it this way, and unbeknownst to him, he made the blessing this way. And Esau came, and he cried with a bitter wail, and he pleaded with his father to change it. He said, I have blessed your younger brother, and he shall be blessed. You understand? That is by faith. He understood either for the first time, or he understood now his folly in attempting to set aside the will of God. But whenever it was done, he said, I have blessed him, and I have no intention of reversing it. Why? Because he understood God's will for the future. And so he blessed his son Jacob. He said, let it stand. I thought I was giving this blessing to Esau, but no, I gave it to Jacob. Who is this that I blessed? He knew who it was. And he said, yea, and he shall be blessed. And then you read the blessing. There is this word in the Hebrew, men, and it seems as if he's blessing him in a similar way to Jacob, but it says, blessed away from the dew of heaven and away from the fatness of the earth. And again he says, you're going to serve your brother. And so all the things that he spoke concerning the future were true concerning Jacob and concerning Esau. And it says, by faith he did this. Now, if he did not have faith concerning the future, and let me tell you how it appears in the Greek. This is what it says. I look at it. It says, by faith concerning things to come, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And it appears that the emphasis is on the things to come. He believed that these things were coming so much that he said, I want these coming blessings to be to the son that I love. But then he saw the mistake, the futility of rising up against the will of God, and that he had blessed Jacob. And he did not say, I'm going to retract that blessing. But he said, he shall be blessed. And then he gave Jacob a blessing that was no blessing when you read it carefully. And yet he spoke concerning things to come. And let me give this to his credit and warn you and myself that in his youth, Isaac, when his father was going to offer him as a burnt offering, did not resist the offering of himself as a burnt offering that his father Abraham wanted to offer him. But in his old age, the heavenly father's will, he's quite prepared to resist. So do not think that what you do in your youth means that this shall be your life for the rest of your days. Because in your old age, things can change. Do you remember Solomon? In his old age, this is what happens in our youth. We can look back and see our obedience, but may we be obedient first and last. And may God not have to overlook, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee, Eliezer, my servant. And may God not have to overlook such things as the uncrossing of the hands. He is so gracious to us. But God will overlook what he can, and he will find what good he can in our lives. And so let us learn these few lessons from the life of Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Esau. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that thou shalt help us to understand clearly what thy word says unto us. We know that many times there are things, as Paul said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. There are things, Father, that some are attempting to carry out, words that seem to mean that, but upon closer reflection, they do not mean that at all. And so help us, our Father, to know the meaning of thy word, and then, whatever the consequence, to be as Abraham and carry out thy will. And to trust thee, Father, to bring it to pass. To believe that thou art a good God and a loving God, and if something is essential for our lives, there is nothing that is contrary to thy will that we have to do to bring it to pass. We can wait, trust in the Lord, and do good, and verily we shall be dead, and no good thing wilt thou withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so let us walk uprightly, and pray, and wait thy time, and our Father, bring good things into our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.